Have a Bible with you, please turn with me to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. As you turn there, if you do not have a Bible, like a physical hard copy Bible of your own, we have a Bible for you this morning, and we want you to have it. So if you would like one, please just give a little raise of your hand. We'll bring one to you. It's our pleasure to be able to share that. It's a pretty nice one too. So take us up on that. We are overwhelmingly delighted to share God's word. So please let us know if you need one. And as you get there, Luke chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 36. And we have been in the midst of this series that we're calling Jesus is Everything. And as we go through this series, we've spent these first few weeks just looking at how Jesus actually welcomes sinners, how he welcomes me and you, and taking as close a look as we can at it. And in all honesty, we could spend a couple years doing just that and be just fine. I'm not going to do that, but we're going to be doing that. You can bet that we're going to do it over time. The Lord Jesus is worth paying attention to in every way. Because my prayer for all of us is as we go through this summer, as we look at Jesus and then we talk about how we can be with Jesus and what the Christian life looks like just in the day-to-day. My prayer is that we will be consumed by the love of Jesus and consumed by our love of Jesus and by his love for us, okay? That we would be marked by it. Now, a little bit about this passage this morning before we dive in. Have you ever like sat down and watched your favorite movie with another person who hasn't seen it? And how, do you ever notice how weird we get when we do that? Because we're constantly looking over at that other person, hoping that at these moments that we love so much in the movie, that they're gonna laugh hysterically, or they're gonna cry, or they're gonna find it as moving and as meaningful as we do. We get really weird and annoying about that sometimes. And you'll have to forgive me, because this is one of those places in the Gospels for me. This is where I look at Jesus and I get a little bit undone. So you'll have to forgive me if I gush a little bit this morning. But really what I'm trying to do, what have we been doing over the last several weeks as we've talked about Jesus who will not break the bruised reed, who's so gentle with sinners, and Jesus who will never cast out anyone who comes to him. Because in coming to Jesus, the reality behind that is that you are a gift from the Father to the Son. He doesn't cast away the Father's gifts. And then today, as we sink into this story, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to run you out of excuses and obstacles that you put in the way to hold Jesus at an arm's length. That's what I'm trying to do. And I mean that for you mature Christians, right down to anyone here who doesn't know Jesus. I want every last one of those objections, every last one of those excuses to be wiped away until you're faced with the truth that you have no reason not to run to him anymore. This morning, I just want to ask, when you look at Jesus, what are you seeing? Like, what are you seeing in him? This little story that we're about to read really hinges on seeing. And we're going to talk, at three different moments in this story where there's a very, very particular way someone sees. And we're going to talk about that. We are invited to see this morning. We're invited not just general things about Jesus, We can talk about the love of Jesus in very general ways, and most of the time that's how we talk about it. But this story invites us to look at him in all his specificity. What does it really look like when the Son of God receives a coming sinner? And my prayer is that your eyes would be open to what it looks like when Jesus is in a place or has been with a person, to begin to recognize his voice for yourself, to be able to take a whiff of the air and think, oh, Jesus has been here. And ultimately, more and more and more, to become captivated by his love, to become marked by the presence of Christ, and to drip love for him so that your life would be defined by the hand of the King. And when you leave a room, people will take a whiff of the air and say, oh, Jesus was here. Okay? Let's look at Luke chapter 7. Starting in verse 36. Hear the word of the Lord. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who's touching him, for she's a sinner. And Jesus answered, said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. And then, turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to you, God, for this word. And I find myself every time undone by this. Lord God, I pray that you would undo every heart here in your presence. That Jesus, you would be seen for who you are, and that your word of life, of forgiveness, would reach our ears today. So whatever justifications we've come in with, whatever blame shifting we've come in with, whatever lack of forgiveness in our hearts that we've come in with, Lord, that you would wipe it clean in your presence and in your grace and in your forgiveness, Lord God. Change our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is the welcome of sinners. Jesus is the welcome of God for sinners, that is. the welcome of God for sinners. It's a person. Not just an announcement, not an ad in the paper. Oh man, I dated myself there, didn't I? Not just a bot that puts something into your Twitter feed, I guess. I don't know, is that a thing? Okay. I am super young. Good job. But he is the welcome of sinners. So I mentioned to you before this theme of how we see him actually comes up in a number of different ways in this story. There's actually three, and we're going to talk about those. And so let's just dive into it, okay? First one is in verse 37. Verse 37, and it's one that we'd probably, our eyes would scan by. But it's like a couple weeks ago when we talked about Isaiah, it's this word, behold. Behold. Consider. Pay really close attention to this. Picture this in your mind's eye. Behold, a woman. A sinful woman. Not just a sinful woman, a notorious and scandalous sinner. She either cannot or will not hide it out in the world. It's possible, it doesn't say specifically here, it's possible she's a prostitute. It's possible she's an adulteress. Behold the woman. She's someone who's been used and thrown away. She's someone who's profoundly hurt other people and been hurt herself. Consider her. Filthy inside and out. I mean, let me make this clearer. Maybe out in the world she flaunts her sexuality, and maybe she acts like she doesn't have to be apologetic for it. Maybe she's drug addicted. Maybe she's any number of things. Any number of those things that we would tend to shrink back from. Consider her. As you do, think about the situation she's coming into. See, sitting up, the normal position for eating at a family meal would be actually sitting up like we do. It wouldn't be on chairs, but it would be much like we do. So the simple fact that they were reclining, which means each person was laying on their side with their facing the table, but having their bodies and their feet away from the table. That's what reclining at table means. The simple fact that they were doing that means that this was kind of a special event. It was a group gathering. And so people from the town and people from the synagogue were coming over to have a meal with this teacher, this reputed prophet. And when this woman learns that Jesus is there, she grabs this expensive jar of ointment, probably the most expensive thing she owns, and she goes there. She is neither welcome nor wanted there. As she stands at his feet, she begins to weep. Not just crying, weeping. Not cute crocodile tears, ugly crying. What happens when you ugly cry? It's not just tears that come out, is it? No, and then she actually gets down, all the way down on her knees, close enough to his feet that her tears can fall on them, and then she takes the only thing she has at hand, her hair, and starts wiping his dirty feet. She begins kissing his feet, taking that ointment she brought with him or with her and applying it to his feet so to heal and to refresh his cracked and weary feet. That is not normal. Not in that day and not in ours. If you really want evidence of that, just like be in a room when the pastor suggests, hey, let's have a foot washing ceremony. It's not normal. It's not a normal like action of gratitude or love or even humility. It's not normal. She is undone in the presence of Jesus. Simply by being in his presence, she can't hide anymore what is going on in her life. She casts off all restraints and she is at his feet, expressing the love that she instantly has for Jesus, her King. Do you see her? Do you see her? She is, last week we talked about the coming sinner, the sinner who comes to Jesus. She is that sinner. Now look at verse 39. Somebody else saw. The Pharisee who had invited him saw this. A Pharisee, if you don't know, that tends to be a word we kind of banter around and we use it as a very negative term. In reality, in their own day, they were kind of the good guys. They were the holy rollers. They were the ones who were serious about the Bible. They were the religious people, the ones who wanted to see they wanted to see God be glorified in everything in God's people. And so they were really careful about trying to obey God's law. They were super serious about their religion. This Pharisee saw a dirty, defiled, unclean, unwelcome thing touching this teacher and supposed prophet. And he thinks to himself, if this man were a prophet, see Jesus, earlier in this chapter, Jesus started to gain this great reputation as a prophet. He had raised up this young man from the dead. And this Pharisee sitting here thinking, if this man were really a prophet, he would know who this woman is. He would know what sort of woman this is. Think about what's going through his head. If Jesus actually, he's thinking, if Jesus knew who and what sort of woman she is, he wouldn't let her touch him. He would be disgusted by her. He would be revolted by her. He would kick her away. He would send her away. Anything but what she's doing. She is, right down to her very core, this Pharisee is thinking, a sinner. She doesn't deserve anything more. Now, I want to point out a detail for you. This woman is never named in this story. The Pharisee is. His name is Simon. Now, in the Gospels, what most often happens is when someone is named, like a minor character in the Gospels is named, it's because that person probably became a follower of Jesus and was well known among the church. But we don't know that here. I really hope that's true. If that's true, that gives me so much hope for myself. But there's maybe another reason why Simon is named. Because maybe we should be reading this story and we should see ourselves in Simon. Maybe we got to reckon with the fact that we set up boundaries of right and wrong, acceptable and unacceptable, clean and unclean. We establish these boundaries. They never quite live up to God's standard, but they're pretty good. But somehow, some way, those boundaries and those standards are always things that we can accomplish. And then we can sit in judgment on people who don't. Sometimes we even catch ourselves judging God by these standards. That's what Simon was doing this day. He says, if this was a real prophet, he would know. He would know. But that's just it, isn't it? As you read this story, Jesus does know. He does know. Her sins are many, And what do you see when you look at Jesus here? What do you see? You see a Jesus that doesn't flinch. You see a Jesus that doesn't back away. You see a Jesus that doesn't send her away. You see a Jesus that leans in. Jesus knows what this guy is saying to himself. He knows what Simon says to himself. And so if he's already questioning that this guy is a prophet, that should have been Simon's first clue. Oh, this guy knows what I'm thinking. He says, Jesus says, Simon, I got something to say to you. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. A denarius was equal to about a day's wage for a laborer or a soldier. So you can do the math. I mean, I know you were probably told there'd be no math this morning, but you can figure it out. When they could not pay either of them, he canceled the debt of both. Now, here's the thing about that word cancel. That's a great translation. It's not a wrong translation by any means. But there's a particular nuance to it that you might not be able to pick up, because that's not the only word or even the most common word that the Bible would use to talk about the forgiveness of a debt. The word that it uses is actually connected to the word we translate grace. In other places in the New Testament, it's translated as to freely give or graciously give. My point in that is just to say when it talks about this moneylender canceling the debt, the nuance, the emphasis is on the graciousness of the giver, not the extent of the debt. It's the graciousness of the giver that we need to have our eyes fixed on. Look, Jesus says, who will the moneylender love more? Who? Now look, if you spend any amount of time among us here at Christ Community, you may start asking yourself, why is it that they talk so much about sin and repentance? Why? And why, when they talk about sin and repentance, do they tend only to talk about the sin and the repentance needed in their own tribe and in us, and not looking down the street or across the aisle? Why? I got news for you. It isn't because we're better Christians, and it isn't because we're better people, because we're not. What we are people who are centered on Jesus. And we know that the graciousness of the giver. And so we come to him in truth. And this is where the third and final seeing comes in. And man, pay attention to Jesus here. If you haven't really paid attention to the details up to this point, pay attention to them now. He says, Simon, do you see this woman? And Jesus, who is reclining at the table, facing the table, turns his whole body towards her. And as he speaks to Simon, he looks at her. You don't think I see her? You don't think I know who she is and what sort of woman she is? Simon, 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 do you see her? It would not have been normally expected, for Simon to wash Jesus' feet as the host. It would have been, if he would have done that, it would have been like a move of like extraordinary courtesy. And you can bet if he was going to do that, it wouldn't be Simon doing it, it would be one of his servants doing it. But you see, Simon didn't even give Jesus some water to wash his own feet. But she's sitting there at his feet, wetting his feet with her tears, washing his feet with her hair. And Simon gave no kiss of greeting or welcome, which would have been normal. She hasn't stopped kissing his feet. In all her brokenness, in all her humility, she hasn't stopped kissing his feet. He says, Simon, you didn't give me oil to refresh my head. Again, a common courtesy. But she has taken probably the most valuable thing she owns, and she is trying to give my feet relief. Do you see her, Simon? I see her. Her sins are many, Simon. You're not wrong about that. You're not wrong about that. Everything you say, she is. Maybe worse. But she's come to me, Simon. She's come to me in her desperate need. She's come to me, and she doesn't know that I love her more than she can possibly imagine. She doesn't know how clean I'm going to wash her. She doesn't know how delighted I am to do it. Simon, do you see her? Do you see me? All the while, let me remind you, Jesus doesn't take his eyes off her. The gospel of Jesus Christ is scandalous. It is. We try to domesticate it, but it can't be. It is, if you'll pardon the use of this word, the gospel is promiscuous. God's grace is promiscuous. It goes out, and it goes out and changes the lives of people that, the clean and the unclean. The more defiled, the more broken, the more crushed by her own sin and shame she is, the more she disgusts herself and others, the filthier her touch. Somehow, Jesus' eyes are only for her, even as he's talking to Simon. If you look at Jesus long enough here, you might hear the whisper of Song of Songs, chapter 4. That'll be up here on the screen here. But this, where God, speaking to his people, saying, "You've captivated my heart. How beautiful your love." And while everyone in the room is either offended or in absolute awe, and they're murmuring to themselves about who is this, he leans in and he speaks tenderly to her. "Forgiven. Forgiven. Go in peace." As I look at Jesus here, there's no gratuitous motion. And what I mean by that is I'm watching this as a movie in my head, and I kind of want Jesus to take her hand, take her face and lift her eyes to his. Luke doesn't say he did that. I don't need to add to it. Jesus simply with his word washes her clean. More than she could have ever thought possible. He just looks at her like he is seeing a beautiful sunset and he says, "Peace to you. Peace to you." Peace in the Bible means the Hebrew word is shalom. It means wholeness. It's the way things ought to be. You're whole now. You're whole now. You've come to the right place. And all her fear, all her shame is overcome by a love that she could have never found, she could have never thought possible, and all of it expressed in her faith. In her faith have just coming to a place where she was sure, she could have been sure that she was unwelcome and unwanted. But she came anyway. And she found she was more welcome and more wanted than she could have possibly imagined. How much do you want to bet that she walked out that day? When she walked out of that house, she was like a big neon sign saying Jesus was here. Do you see Jesus? I told you before, I'm trying to run you out of excuses. Do you see him? Do you see him? In all the specifics, guys, do you see him? Maybe, probably, you're in this place this morning and you can identify maybe more with Simon. Like I said, I hope he's in this story because he's named in this story because he took up his cross and he followed Jesus. Jesus' word can wash him clean too. But what are you seeing when you see Jesus? He is the welcome of God for sinners. And when you walk out of here this morning, my prayer for you, my hope for you is that you'll walk out shouting, Jesus was here. Jesus was here. As you do, I just want you to, right now, just kind of look around the room. Do you see each other? Do you see each other with the eyes that Jesus has? Do you see each other for the way that Jesus can wash that one clean? And are we, is Jesus forming us to be a people who see each other, who see others that way, who see the coming sinner, welcoming them with open arms? You look at me, arms wide open, Jesus, that's what you've done for me. Some of you are dealing with a lot of stuff in your life. You're hiding it. You've been hiding it. You've come to the right place. You've come to the right place. You've come to the right one in Jesus. And we're glad that you're here. You are welcome and you are wanted. And you know why? Because I'll guarantee you that I've been just as filthy, if not more. He's washed me clean, and he continues to do it. He doesn't cast me away. The more I provoke him to his face, and he doesn't cast me away. I'm here to tell you, this Jesus is way better than you think he is. He's way better. Way better. He'll change your life. Everything you're looking for is found in him, and only him. I don't know what the Lord is doing, is stirring in your heart this morning. For those of you Simons, actually, you know what? If you could just, if we don't usually do this, if you could just close your eyes. If you're finding in your, if in your own heart you're finding, you know what, I'm Simon here. This is how I've been looking at people. And I have not seen Jesus. That's just, raise your hand so I can be praying for you this week. Thank you. Thank you. As you keep your eyes closed, I'm just going to ask, maybe the Lord's stirring in you. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe your life is, you feel even in this moment, your life kind of coming undone. And you don't know what to do with it. You just know that in his presence, something's way different, and you want to surrender everything to him. If he's calling you, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand and let me, so I can pray for you. God, we are in awe of you. For some in here, they're not ready to surrender. They're really not ready to surrender their heart to you. God, I ask, as they call out to you, just wondering, is this really who you are? You'd come find them. God, for all those who are in the position of Simon here and want to be washed clean, want to see you primarily and then see others through your eyes, see what love really looks like. Lord God, I ask that you would open their eyes. Cleanse them of their sin. Let them see. Cleanse them of the self-righteousness and the stuff. The blame shifting. Self-justifications. Cleanse us all of those things. So that when we go from here, we go in your name, and people know that you've been here with us, that you are with us, that you shape us, that you mold us, that you define us. Lord God, for those who can see themselves in this woman, speak peace, Lord God. Speak peace, the truth of Christ who has washed us clean with his precious blood. Speak peace. My friend, if that is you, you are clean. You are forgiven when you come to Jesus. Lord God, let that forgiveness define everything. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.